We're beginning the second chapter of Arachin, and this chapter is interesting because only the beginning of the first Mishnah speaks about Arachin matters. The rest follows a pattern that the first Mishnah starts with, which talks about things which there is a minimum and a maximum. And I'll begin the Mishnah and you'll see what I'm talking about. Ein bi Arachin pochus misela. The minimal shear involved in Arachin is a sela. The Torah mentions v'kol erchecho yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh, that whenever you're dealing, and it's learned out by the Chazal as meaning whenever you're dealing with Arachin, there has to be a minimum of a shekel ha-kodesh. That is to say, if a poor person, a poor man, made his own erech upon him, unless he was between 20 and 60, his 50 shkolim, or he was marich, a rich man, or whatever, doesn't make a difference. The gizbar ascertains how much he can pay, and if he's so poor that he can't afford anything, he still is obligated to come up eventually with at least a sela. And once he pays that sela, even if he, as we'll see in the Mishnah, even if he becomes rich afterwards, his obligation is fulfilled. But he has to pay. Even a poor man with nothing has to come up with the sela once he makes such a vow of erechin. So ein bi erchecho pochus misela. Even a poor person has to pay at least the sela. Velo yeser al chamishim sela, and that's straight out of the pasuk. That the psukim, that the maximum erech of is for a male between 20 and 60 years of age, and that's 50 sloim. Ketzad. Nosan sela, how so? Nosan sela the heshir. A poor man gave a sela. The gizbar said that it was enough if he had no other goods to assess, and he gave a sela, and then he became wealthy. Eino nosin klum, he has no further obligation, since at the time that he was poor, he paid what he was obligated to pay, which was the minimal, the sela. So now he's become rich, but his obligation is ended. He's paid already. However, if he didn't come up with the full sela, if he gave pochos misela, if he gave less than a sela, the heshir, and then he becomes wealthy, then we view the erech in terms of his situation now, since he hasn't fulfilled his obligation to give a sela, and he has to pay if he's, let's say, 20, between 20 and 60, he has to pay the full, and he made the erech on himself or on someone else who is a male who is between 20 and 60, he has to pay the full chamishim sela, no saying chamishim sela. Now, the same thing would apply if the gizbar, if the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash would have assessed him as being able to afford, he's a poor man, he can't afford the full 50, but he can afford 5. So he has to pay 5, and he only paid 4 and a fraction, but he hasn't paid the full 5 yet. And then he becomes wealthy, so there too, he would now be obligated to pay the full 50, the remainder of the full 50, because he didn't fulfill his obligation of paying the 5, which the gizbar assessed him. Koya biyodav chamesh sloim, if a poor man had 5 sloim, Rabbi Meir Omer eino nosin elo echos. Rabbi Meir says he only has to pay 1. V'chachomim omrim, the sages say, nosin es kulam. If he has 5, and he made a erech for 50, he has to pay the 5. Ein bi arochin pochus misela, v'lo yesru al chamishim sola. Again, the Mishnah reiterates the principle that we just mentioned, that there's nothing in Arachin that's less than a sela, and there's nothing that's more than a sela, that there is a minimal of a sela. And the Mishnah continues now, and this is going to be the pattern for the rest of the chapter. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi uses this opportunity to, as a didactic, as an educational tool, to remind us of various dinim, various halachas, where there's a minimum and a maximum. For simply for remembering purposes. Remember, the Mishnah was originally studied, it's Torah Baal Peh, was studied orally. And there's even a question as to whether Rebbe actually wrote the Mishnayos down or just put them orally into an organized format of Mishnayos, which were meant to be memorized. And Rebbe gives us an opportunity to put things together in a perek to associate a lot of different ideas together based on this concept of pochos and yeser. Ein Pesach b'toa pochos mishiva v'lo yeser al shiva aser. Now this I'm going to try to explain very briefly. This is a very complex issue with a lot of explanation on it, and Gemara is very complex with a long Rashi. We're talking here from the Torah. There are two different laws concerning a woman who sees blood. One is a nida, whose halach is from the Torah, that she sees blood on one day or 2 days. She counts 7 days, and she's mafsetara. If on the seventh day she doesn't see blood before sunset, she can go to the mikveh that night, and she's clean. She's no longer a nida. However, after the 7 days of nidus until the next event of nidus, they were called 11 days. 11 days between nidus and nidus, 11 special days. And there, if she sees 3 days, she becomes a zova gadola. 3 days consecutively, a zova gadola. And she has to bring a korban, and she has to count seven clean days without seeing anything. It's only a zova gadola who has to count 7 clean days. A nida can see for 6.5 days, and then mafsik betara, and then not see before bein hashmashos and go to the mikveh. Jewish women, at a very early time, adopted a stringency upon themselves to treat themselves as zovas and to always require shiva nikiyim, even if they're nidos. But from the Torah, a nida doesn't require 7 clean days, simply 7 days. And on the seventh day, she's mafsik petara, before shkia, before sunset, she doesn't see, she goes to the mikveh that night. So we're talking about a case where a woman has forgotten, she sees on a certain day, and she doesn't remember if she's a nida, and this is with the time when they maintain the difference, and only a zova kept 7 clean days. She doesn't remember if she's a nida or a zova. So in Pesach, she's called a toa, a woman who's lost, confused. She's in a little bit of a trouble here. She has to get back to a regular cycle of nidus, and then followed by 11 days of potential zivus. In Pesach b'toa, there's no solution, opening a solution to this problem of a woman who comes to Beis Din, or to the Rav, and says, I saw today, and I don't know if I'm a nida, or this is the days of ziva. So the minimal amount of shiva nikiyim that she has to count are 7, lo yeser al shiva aser, and no more than 17. Now the case of 17 is this case where she sees only one day. She has to wait 7 days and of nikiyus, because perhaps she this is we're talking about in terms of getting back on the path of being a nida again. So we make her have 7 clean days and then another 11 clean days, which she doesn't see, not because she needs clean days per se. Ventures the nida, she doesn't. And even if a zova she only saw one day, and a zova sees one day, doesn't keep 7 clean days. But we want to prevent her from seeing during this time period, so that if she waits 7 days, and then another 11 days, automatically, at the end of that time period, on the 17th day, including that first day, and which incorporates the first that day in the 7 days and then additional 11 days, she can come back to her cycle of being a nida. She can return to her cycle of nidus. Again, automatically 11 days will have passed between nida l'nida, if she was a nida, or if she was a zava, she didn't say during this entire time, and she's had her shiva nikiyim. Certainly, she's had her shiva nikiyim. And the next time she sees, after having been a zava, will be she'll be in need again. But you need the extra time in order to guarantee the fact that 11 days have passed. She's out of the 11-day cycle of nidus. Of 11 days between ziva and ziva. It's complex, so if I didn't explain it well, it's my fault, not the listener's fault. Then the Mishnah continues, same Mishnah still. Ein ben goyim pachos mishua echad, vol yesro shlosha shavuos. We have in Parshas Tazri and Mitzvah the laws of a person who has a certain type of a plague, referred to in English as leprosy, negoim. And there are various types of negoim. There are very negoim on a person, various areas and different colors and like on his body. And then there's begodim, negoim, plague, mitzvah, on garments of wool, flax, or leather. And then there negoim, plagues on a house, nige batim, plagues in the house. So the there's no less than 1 week is by a person. A person, it could be after 1 week, the kohen sees that the signs of tumah have disappeared at the initial week, and he'll say to the person that you're clean, you can go home, you don't have to go out of the camp, you're not a mitzora. So there's no less than 1 week, that's by a person. And by a house, it's possible that it'll take 3 weeks, three different sightings, three different visits by the Kohen, before he paskins, before he rules that the house is a base menuga and requires to be destroyed. Lo yesro shlosha shavuos. The next Mishnah, the base, ein pochsin mirabu chadoshim hamuburim b'shona. The Hebrew year is a lunar cycle, and in actuality the lunar month is 29 and a half days plus 2/3 of an hour and 73 chalokim. 73 chalokim are, a chalok is 1/1080th of an hour, so 73 over 1,000 over 1080 of an hour. Again, 29 and a half days plus an additional 2/3 of an hour plus an additional 73 chalokim. And we keep our months, you know, with even days, so the months shift between 29 days and 30 days to make up for this adjustment of the extra 1/2, 2 hours, and the 73 chalokim. So ein poschim mi arba chadoshim hamuborim b'shona. So the Mishnah says that you can't have fewer than four uber months. An uber month is a month that's 30 days long. A pregnant month. Month is either 29 days, which is a chaser, a lacking month, or an uber month, a mole, a full month, which is 30 days. You can't have fewer than 4 months with 30 days in the course of a calendar year. The Lonira Yisrael Shmona, and you can't also not. We won't see more than 8 full months, 8 30-day months in the calendar year. Next, then replies to the Shtei Halechem, which was brought on the holiday of Shavuos. It was a special bread, one of the rare menachos that are chametz. Very little there was chametz in the base of Mikdash, and certainly it didn't go in the Mizbeach. It was eaten. But the Shtei Alechem were chametz made of wheat that were brought on Shavuos with two kvasim, aside from other kabbonos that were brought on Shavuos, but two special kvasim, which are what we call zivchei shalmi tzibur. Ordinarily, the tzibur can't bring shlomim, can't bring korban, a peace offering. Individuals can bring a peace offering. But on Shavuos, There are shnei kvasim, which are zivchei shalmi tzibur, which is the zevach. This is the only case that we have in the regular, in an ordinary year. You had it in time of the Chanukas Hamishkan, but in the course of a Jewish year, Only on Shuas is there a Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Are there Zvachim Shlomim that belong to the congregation? Those are the Shkvosim are brought with the Shtei Alechem. And the Shtei Alechem permits the usage of grain that took root after the Pesach of the year before, not the prior Pesach, but the Pesach of the year before, that to be used for Menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. For secular purposes, it's the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach that permits the use of grain that took root before the previous Pesach. But after the previous Pesach, grain that took root after the previous Pesach. However, the Beis HaMikdash purposes, the new grain that took root after the previous Pesach can't be used until the Shtei Halechem comes in and permits them to be used. So the Mishnah tells us now, Shtei Halechem Necheles in Pochus Mishnayim Lo Yesru Al Shlosha. The Shtei Halechem is eaten by the Kohanim no less than 2 days old and no more than 3 days old. How so? Shtei Halechem couldn't be baked on Yom Tov. So if an honorary holiday of Shuas, so it was baked Erev Yom Tov, and it was eaten on Yom Tov, so it was 2 days old, the second day. No less than 2 days. That's an ordinary case. Lo yeser al shlosha. If Shuas falls out on a Sunday, Motzoi Shabbos, then the bread is baked on Friday, Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is the second day, and Shavuos is the third day. So it's either eaten in a normal case where it follows a weekday after 2 days on the second day, or if it follows a Shabbos on the third day. Lechem aponim, these are the showbread, the special 12 loaves of bread that sat throughout an entire week on the shulchan of the that was in the heichal in the holy part of the Beis HaMikdash. It's where the menorah was, and the mizbacha and mizbeach hazov and the golden mizbeach, the golden altar. So on Shabbos, the kohanim would take out the previous week's 12 loaves. And they would eat them on Shabbos, and they would bring in, as they're taking out the previous weeks, they're slotting onto the table the current week's, the next week's Shtei Halechem. Shtei Halechem were baked on Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us now that the Lechem Haponim, that Lechem Haponim, the showbreads, the Lechem Haponim were baked on Erev Shabbos. They weren't baked on Shabbos. They had to be baked on Erev Shabbos. And then they're first eaten the following Shabbos, not the next day, but the following Shabbos. So Friday to Friday is 8 days, and Shabbos is the ninth day. So Lechem Aponim, the showbread, the Lechem Aponim, Nechel Ein Pochos Mitisha, is eaten no less than 9 days. Again, it's baked on the Friday, the Erev Shabbos of the previous week. The Friday before it is the eighth day, and Shabbos is the ninth day. Lo yeser al achad oser, and no more than 11 days. If Rosh Hashanah, the only holiday from the Torah that in Eretz Yisrael was kept for 2 days, was Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah falls out on Rosh Chodesh. It's possible that the witnesses didn't come, or they came late, whatever, and they had to make Rosh Hashanah 2 days. So if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday and on a Friday, then they had to be concerned about the possibility that it would be 2 days. So they would bake the bread on Wednesday. They'd break the bread on Wednesday. Wednesday to Wednesday is 8 days. Thursday is 9. Friday is 10. And Shabbos is the 11th day. Lo yaser al achad oser. And no more than 11 days. That would be the situation where 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were fall out before Shabbos. They were concerned that there might be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. They baked the bread on Wednesday. As a result, it's eaten on the 11th day. And the Mishnah continues with another unrelated halacha, but again following pattern. Kot nimol ein pochus mishon shmona lo yeser al shnei maser, and no more than 12 days. Begin with, a child, the boy is born, and he's supposed to be nimol on the 8th day. However, in a situation where he's born on an erev, on a Friday in the late afternoon, bein hashmashos, and we're not sure if it's Shabbos or it's weekday, so you certainly don't mold the child on Friday because maybe it was born on Shabbos and you won't have 8 full days yet. And you can't mull him on Shabbos because maybe he was born on Friday and you can't violate the Shabbos for a mila that's not in its proper time. Only when mila falls out on the 8th day do we violate the Shabbos if it's the 8th day. So an ordinary situation, a child is nimol on the 8th day. If the child is born bein hashmashos, so then we assume, let's say, Friday is the, just for assumption, that Friday was the first day, that's when he was born. We don't know for sure, but we'll assume Friday he was born. It's not enough an assumption to do it on Friday. So Friday to Friday is 8 days, Shabbos is 9 days, and Sunday would be the 10th day. Now, that would be in a situation where he's when bein hashmashos and his bris will take place on Sunday. However, if again you have a situation where 2 days of Rosh Hashanah follow that Shabbos, then Friday is the first day. The following Friday is the 8th day. The following Friday is the 8th day. Shabbos is the 9th day before. And Sunday is the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the 10th day. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, Monday, is the 11th day. And we can't desecrate Rosh Hashanah either because of a Sufik bris, a bris shel bizmana. So as a result, he's not nimol until Tuesday, which is the 12th day. Again, Friday being considered the first day, was bein hashmashos, considered the first day. The following Friday, the 8th day. The following Shabbos, the 9th day. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, the 10th day. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, the 11th day. And the weekday in which he's finally is nimol is the 12th day. So that's the end of the second Mishnah.